Death and life have contended, in that combat stupendous. The Prince of Life who died reigns immortal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is Easter Sunday, and my text is from the sequence of the Mass named Victime Paschali Laudes. We celebrated yesterday the end of the sacred Triduum, and the glorias, the bells, the bright colors, the flowers, and alleluias have all returned. Christ is truly risen again, as Church declared yesterday. But for me, it every year seems that somehow our Easter celebration isn't quite perfect until we have had this glorious Easter Sunday Mass. The pious women who, like us, were his faithful followers, came, like us, to the sepulchre very early in the morning. But they found that stone was rolled away and that the body of Jesus was gone. Upon this, Mary Magdalene runs back to Peter and John. She tells the holy apostles what had happened, and they, to satisfy themselves of the truth of her report, they hasten to the sepulchre, but not finding the body, went away again. For us, it is not enough that our Lord rose from the dead. Someone still needs to proclaim this good news to us. Our Holy Week has to come into end at some point. What good would it be for us if we saw Christ dying on the cross and not knowing that he rose from the dead? To see the cross solemnly revealed on Good Friday and then remain in ignorance of his victory over death. It would be like if you would read a story to a child, like Grimm's brother's Little Red Riding Hood, and you would cut the story to the part where Wolf swallows up poor Little Red Riding Hood. Wouldn't you think that the story has come to a very abrupt and sad ending? No, the hunter must arrive to scene and save the day, save the little girl and her grandmother. And the child needs to hear those happy ending words, that she went cheerfully home and came to no harm. Our sequence describes how Mary Magdalene saw the tomb of Christ empty, and of course, she couldn't just go happily to home. No, she went to garden, still searching the object of her affection. And there, Mary Magdalene saw Jesus in the habit and form of a gardener, who made himself known to her in order that she might announce to his grief-struck apostles the happy news of his resurrection. Because the disciples, thinking that the story of their Lord had come to an abrupt and sad ending, went away to their own home. But Mary still stood outside at the sepulchre of Christ, weeping. She sought him whom her soul loved, but she found him not. She searched for him with tears. She yearned with strong desire for him who, she believed, had been taken away. And thus it befell her that being the only one who had remained to seek him, she was the only one that saw him. In many ways, Saint Mary Magdalene is the prototype of our Gertrudian Lenten saint, Therese of Lisieux. She herself had knew the art of love. Having given all, she feels as though she had given nothing. Therese herself has said, "Most of all do I imitate the behavior of Magdalene, for her amazing, or rather I should say her loving audacity, which delighted the heart of Jesus and cast its spell upon mine." This is exactly what we heard yesterday on Holy Saturday, the spirit of Saint Therese, the boldness which is so much in want in our sad world and among so many Catholics of today. Recently, I saw in a Finnish website an interview by an Austrian rock musician. This man is a fallen away Catholic, and he described his religious upbringing as the theater of cruelty in the times which said were blood-stained Catholicism in his childhood. Of course, his interview was very sad to read, for he now describes the faith of his childhood as a myth. But he said one thing which would really startle us, namely, "I still have to meet a Catholic who really believes in the most important dogma, that bread is turned into sacred meat, that wine becomes sacred blood. I never met anyone who believed this. I suppose that all over the world there is thus only existing a hardcore of maybe only some 100 or 1,000 real Catholics." Dear faithful, what words of reproach are these about the weakness of the faith in modern-day Christians? Our Mass sequence describes so well the mood of this morning. We, the faithful, are supposed to gather into this church to celebrate our Master's resurrection and to offer our own sacrifice of praise in answer to our Lord's sacrifice. What a blink of darkness brings into this joyful morning this depressing statement that this Austrian man has never met even one who believes that in the Holy Eucharist we really consume our Paschal victim. I, of course, certainly trust that there are little bit more than only 100 people on earth who hold into this Catholic dogma, and even little bit more than just 1,000. But even though small number we really are, remember, even our Lord's disciples went away to their own home, while Mary still stood outside weeping. And as a reward, she was the first of our Lord's followers to learn the joyous news of the resurrection and to be charged with the honorable mission of carrying the good news to the apostles. That is why she is the only female saint, in addition to Our Lady, on whose feast the Credo is recited at her Mass. But of course, in the Church of Francis, when it mercifully and with magnanimous tolerance allows the use of the ancient Latin Mass in its church 1962 version of the Missal, you find no creed in the Mass of Saint Mary Magdalene. I don't know of you, but I personally can think of no greater insult to this blessed penitent saint, who was the first proclaiming the doctrines of our creed to the world. No greater insult than to omit this very creed from her Mass. But that's exactly what this so-called church has done. And this little fact itself speaks volumes about the value of both of that missal and of their whole so-called church. Dear faithful, the true religion which we hold here at St. Gertrude the Great is based upon this very testimony of a poor woman who says, "Ye Christ, my hope is arisen." This poor penitent woman sees her beloved Christ going to Galilee before her. And her testimony, the true church will never abandon. And conversely, we shall never hold neither peace nor communion with those who abandon the Easter Sunday message of Saint Mary Magdalene. Our Lenten saint, little Saint Therese, said to all of us, "Do you realize that Jesus is there in the tabernacle expressly for you alone? He burns with the desire to come into your heart. Don't listen to the demon, laugh at him, and go without fear to receive the Jesus of peace and love. There you have the sole remedy if you want to be cured. Jesus has not put this attraction in your heart for nothing." Each one of our lives is like a holy week. We have all fallen in the sin. We have to suffer tribulation and crosses in our Good Friday. And then we can enjoy the reconciliation with God in Holy Saturday through church and sacraments. But there still remains to each one of us our own Easter Sunday, where we might live in heaven with our Prince of Life, who reigns immortal. And none of us has yet reached this our own Easter Sunday. During Lent, we have heard so much about Saint Teresa, Saint Therese, the little flower. Her sisters in the convent lived long enough to see her canonization. What joy and thankfulness they must felt, because for them it was granted the privilege already in this life, the certainty that their beloved little Therese had reached her own Easter Sunday. And how joyful and eager this little girl had been for the conversion of sinners. She even offered her last immolation of our Eucharistic Lord for the conversion of an apostate priest. Never forget that lesson of hers. Are the bad people, the heretics, the naturalists, modernists, Freemasons, and even Christ-denying Jews, are they our enemies? Yes, they are, but they are not meant to be. Every single man is called to be a saint. It's not meant that we should born, spend some miserable years in the depthness of sin, and then die and to be cast to hell. No, wise King Solomon, who knew all about falling into sin and invoking God's wrath, wrote, "Rejoice not at the death of thy enemy, knowing that we all die and are not willing that others should rejoice at our death." Our Lord could have rejected poor Mary Magdalene, drive her away and throw her into flames of hell, and his glory and justice wouldn't have suffered any harm. But he didn't, because it was not meant to be so. Instead, it is this great penitent saint who testifies today that the first Easter was meant to be for the redemption of all sinners. Don't act like the modernistic church and forget the reason behind Christ's resurrection. Although we have not reached it yet, we have the great testimony of Saint Mary Magdalene that our Catholic faith is not in vain, but we also will one day move from our Holy Saturday of this life to our own Easter Sunday at the kingdom of Heavenly Prince. But amidst all this joy, maybe there's still room in your heart to remember those who do not share this rejoicing with us. Those millions of souls trapped in the prison of modernism, in the church which keeps ensuring to them that everyone can choose his own creed and his own God. Or all the fallen away priests, those who should this Sunday celebrate this great Easter Mass with its alleluias and hymns, but who do not. Or that poor Austrian musician who sees our dear religion of redemption as a religion of storybooks. We celebrate today Easter Sunday, but all these people are still stuck in ongoing Good Friday. Our life will continue in heavenly kingdom, but they know nothing than the world of their own frail bodies. We have been set free from darkness, but they are still trapped inside the stomach of the wolf. Never forget them there, but strive in all the stages of your life to follow the blessed footsteps of Saint Mary Magdalene, when she rushed to Christ's disciples and with ecstatic joy shouted the great words, "Christ indeed from death is risen, our new life obtaining. Have mercy, Victor King, ever rejoicing. Amen. Alleluia." Have a blessed and holy Easter, and may God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.